all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Dave Hodges here, guest segment of the Common Sense Show, and we have Doug Thornton here from American Vindicta, the American Vindicta Show, I should say, and I have the Common Sense Show, and we are combining to be the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And we're going to talk about everything from the Middle East to the border, because it's all connected. And I'll just say this before we go on. I shared a spot with Stephen Bannoun on John Moore's roundtable on his show. And Stephen confirmed what I've been saying, that there's no way that they didn't know the attack was coming. They moved, Stephen added to my comments, they moved 80% of the defense force away from Gaza just a week before. With all the intelligence and the satellite surveillance we have, it shouldn't have taken 4 hours, shouldn't have taken 4 minutes to respond. And they were getting phone calls from the people begging for help. This is Stephen Bannoun's story. So this is clearly a false flag. Of course, there are up to 1,200 or more dead. That's not false flag, but the event, it's a false flag event designed to start a war with Russia by way of Iran, and that's where this will expand. That's something Stephen Bannoun and I both share. Doug, how do you see it?
Yeah, just trying to follow up the news. The war that was in Ukraine for the military-industrial complex is now spinning up to the war, apparently, in Israel. But we know, Dave, that it's leading to a war with Iran. We know that's the end cause. The United States is now prepared to send 2,000 troops, not special forces, but regular infantry, into Israel to help support the IDF against their battle against Hamas. You know, that war alone is going to be a long one. It's going to be like a miniature Vietnam. They're going to have to do a lot of urban warfare, house to house, apartment to apartment. Been there, done that. A city fight takes a while. Takes a while to clear everyone, and there's so many different places to hide. Booby traps, improvised explosive devices, suicide bombers, and there's also recorded over 300 miles worth of underground tunnels that they're going to have to clear. And that is extraordinarily dangerous. It's dangerous because with close confinements like that, anything that you do on the ground, any explosion, gas attack, fire attack, it becomes 10 times more effective underground in tight confined spaces. So Israel's really going to have their hands full with this one. And that's going to probably take the longest amount to clear out. I'm not seeing too much from Egypt. I think Egypt has actually backed off. Right now, the United Nations is talking about setting up a large Palestinian-based encampment site on the border of Egypt and Gaza. We'll see. It seems like the UN is throwing a hissy fit right now, trying to get support to these people. But yeah, I mean, it's everything else is developing. Syria wants to come into play with this. The Taliban, ISIS, Iran, Turkey is probably not too far off from wanting to join this as well, Lebanon. So eventually we're going to have to see someone come and support Israel, because Israel is, they're going to be too divided. They're going to be too divided. They're going to be spread way too thin, and they're going to cry for help. Now, do you think we would employ all of our armed forces if Israel needed our help, Dave?
You know, it's hard to say what we're committing exactly. 2,000 is not an overwhelming force, but I believe we have two carrier task force in the region. So that is a pretty strong commitment. And that weakens our position in the South China Sea and containing China. So it's a real problem. Listen, this whole thing has been orchestrated. And I want you to react to this because you think more like an intelligence agent than I do, but if we know Netanyahu purposely reduced or delayed his reaction to the invasion, then it's logical to assume there's planning going on the other side to orchestrate this issue for a political purpose. In other words, would I be surprised if we discovered that the Mossad and the CIA worked together to promote Hamas' attack using weapons we left behind in Afghanistan and could have been pre-planned all this time? I don't think anything is out of the question now because we know we're being lied to. But here's the big danger point. Once this spreads to Iran and the intelligence agency known as the Wall Street Journal came out the day after the Hamas attack on Israel and said Iran had a hand in it, they were planting the seed to widen the war. And once you attack Iran, Russia will enter. And Doug, I'm going to get your reaction is because Russia will enter. Because with the BRICS nations, they need Iran's oil. It's a central part of BRICS success. So they're not going to allow that to happen. But Russia is spent in terms of their conventional military forces with Ukraine. They can't engage in a two-front war of any significance and fight Israel and the United States. So it's going to go nuclear very quickly. What do you think about that analysis?
I don't think you're far off. I think Vladimir Putin is still going to want a victory in Ukraine. Why not? You've already spent billions of dollars there and many manpower lives. So I think Ukraine may very well, I mean, this is very tricky. Ukraine may very well still be a kicking off point if we see battalions of Army and Marines from the U.S. going into Israel. It may be on the United Kingdom then to have to try and contain Russia. And that would be possibly Britain, Germany, France, and some of the Scandinavian countries to try and back up Ukraine. Poland already said that they're starting to pull out the reserves to want to even help Ukraine anymore. So that's not good for Ukraine. If we attacked Iran, it depends on the scale of the attack. Are we hitting SAM sites? Are we hitting, into Tehran? Are we hitting strategic military sites that's on that western side of Iran?
How about refineries?
Yeah, I mean, if
that's the big one for my book.
The centrifuges is a big thing. The oil refineries is a big thing. Now, if we attack the oil refineries, then they're going to consider that a full-scale war, though they can do it to us and we wouldn't say anything. I wonder if Saudi Arabia would get pulled into this and get involved. These two are sworn enemies, Iran and Saudi Arabia, even though they're cousins. So that'll be interesting. I would like to know what Jordan, what the King of Jordan would do. He's always been a more conservative side. He's always been on the United States side when it comes to the war on terror, which would include opposing Iran. So that also is going to be very interesting. And then it comes down to what is China willing to risk? I think China would be wise to protect Iran because they get so much profit from Iran, gold, oil, they get quite a bit from Iran. So, Russia is really a resource rich powerhouse. From the pipelines to the timber and coal, there's really no one else in the world who can touch Vladimir Putin's economy. The only reason why it's trashed is because we decided as the world to trash it. If the American dollar fails, the Russian economy can steamroll anybody because they will import and export, and we will only sit back and destroy ourselves. So it's going to be... No, not just a war on two fronts. Janet Yellen said that we could afford two wars. Dave, let's go ahead and talk about more than just two wars, all right? We're going to have the war in Israel / Iran, which would then require our troops to be deployed in possibly Syria, Israel, AFRICOM, and also based off the sea. So there's 4 points of war for this new Middle Eastern war. That's four different designated battlegrounds.
What was your fourth? I didn't catch that last one.
The sea. You're going to have the sea.
The Mediterranean. So, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, because where we always had that Strait of Hormuz problem with Iran, we're probably going to have that problem again. So the IRGC is probably going to have their little fleet of harassing boats against our guys. And if it got really bad, Dave, they would just suicide bomb with those boats like Beirut. They'd just suicide bomb.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. So we're going to see a strangulation of oil. Let me tell you, you may not know this. This surfaced this morning, early this morning, and this has hit a couple of sites already. And I believe this is true. We're working on confirming more of it. But the IMF had an emergency meeting of bankers yesterday. The top bank executives from the major banks met with the International Monetary Fund. And what they concluded, well, they reacted to the futures market. Crude went up 5% in one night. Gold went up 3%. That's unheard of. Gold never goes up 3% like that. That's unprecedented in recent times. And so what they concluded was this. And Doug, this is the number still astounds me. They are saying that if a war commences in the Middle East, the U.S. will see $300 per barrel because it'll be largely unavailable. And Biden, they're convinced, will not turn the pumps on, and they advised him not to because of climate change. So, you know, what the hell is worse, a nuclear war or climate change? That's the question I would ask these morons. But and like I said, we're not endorsing climate change any way, shape, or form. I'm arguing on their terms. But I think that what we're looking at here is we're being asked to fight in a two-front war, minimum. And it could be four fronts. And if China gets involved with us, it could be five fronts. We can't sustain that. Our oil reserves run out in 11 days.
Well, and... then we also have the war going on in Ukraine that we're participating in.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have the potentiality for civil war here in America. And then you're going to also have the cyber war. So, you know, this is a full spectrum war. It's going to be several different layers to this next series of wars. And I don't think so much that it's going to be a world war. I think it's just going to be a series of wars and people, stakeholders war, more or less. I think it'll be a stakeholders war. Who has stake in Israel? Who has stake in resources? There becomes quite the conundrum to ponder. If we only have enough oil to fuel our military for 10 to 12 days, and the military says, oh, well, that's all we'll need.
They're not going to say that. No,
and
no,
then we get into attack.
Milley might have said that, Doug, but no reasonable leader is going to say that.
We don't have we don't have reasonable leaders.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right.
Here's the thing, though. If any general worth his salt, I hate to say it, but I mean, you would see a potential coup against the Biden administration, because what are you going to do? Let the Mad Hatter, that is the king of America, destroy America and its military because it wanted to go all hippie-ish on the economy? No way. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Even as reprobate as the Pentagon has become, they still want to live. They don't want to be subservient, or maybe some of them do. They do wear dog masks on the weekend.
Yeah, well, so, maybe they cut a deal with China.
And I don't see
that changes the dynamic.
I don't see a deal with China in the near future. I think many other things have to happen before China would agree to a deal. I could see China saying, okay, disarm America, and then there'll be a deal. I could see that. But right now, we're still, even though we're at an economic war with China, and even though we have the potential for a hot war in the Pacific with China, we're still borrowing our own money from China to pay our bills, and they're allowing it. When they say no more anything made in China to include medicine, and no more for our economy to help yours, then America is going to quickly be thwarted into full war zone.
You know what you're saying? The fact that they're allowing this to continue and Russia is their ally tells me this is an orchestrated plot, and China's goal and their role in this is to keep America's economy long enough to fight this war and get it going.
It could be.
Yeah.
It very well could be. If anyone thinks that we don't have a hand in every cookie jar right now, you're wrong. We're funding and funneling guns and ammunition to every terrorist group around the world. That's my mindset. Every terrorist group around the world, we have a hand somewhere in that cookie jar. And so what's going on in Israel is partially to blame for us and Mossad. Mossad created Hamas. We created ISIS, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we are fighting ourselves with proxy armies that we created just good enough to scare the shit out of everybody and just demented enough to brutally scare people and really reinforce the need for war. Yet we're really the puppet masters controlling the entire boxing match. So is the war on terror that is still going on right now, is it realistic? Yes, it's realistic. Is it orchestrated? I say it absolutely is. But what's even worse is the economy. I still say what's going on with the economy is worse than the wars that are happening right now. Because when America goes bankrupt, then we can't control all these little mini armies that we've made. We don't have a stance anywhere in the world. And then it becomes a free for all. And once it becomes a free for all and the IMF says, hey, America, you're not top dog anymore. The BRICS are. What do our sadistic, malicious politicians and leaders do? Because then if we get invaded, who comes to their aid? Is it going to be the UK? Probably not. Is it going to be New Zealand or Arizona?
No.
Or Arizona? Is it going to be Australia? Probably not.
No. Not going to be Germany. You know, there's another aspect of this. NATO is being neutered as we speak. and it's happening on energy. And I wrote about this in 2014 when Ukraine was threatening to blow up then, when the CIA was assassinating Russian-friendly leaders in Ukraine, and it looked like it was a move towards world war. And the only thing that Putin did was take Crimea. He really had a measured response. But I posted a chart, and I said Germany gets this much of their energy from Russia. France gets this much. UK gets this much. Well, Germany has Scholz in charge, and this guy's an absolute moron. He makes Biden look intelligent. He has set it up now where they don't even have the energy reserves to get through this winter. That's a fact. That came out in that IMF meeting. The other thing that came out is UK is in a similar position. The UK said 2 months ago that at least 10,000 Brits could die from cold exposure this winter. And the Germans are saying theirs could be far worse. The Germans are actually chopping down trees and burning wood in homes. How dangerous is that? So NATO is going to be no use in this war. That's my point, Doug. NATO has been neutered by their move towards Russia and Russia cutting off energy.
And NATO is also making waves. They recently had all 23 member nations, or however the hell many they have now. They probably have close to 30 now. But all member nations of NATO have unanimously voted that Vladimir Putin is a dictator. Russia is a dictatorship. And so anything that Vladimir Putin does henceforth, international politics based wise, they're going to completely ignore. So if he came to the table and say, hey, we're done, we're not doing anything else, we're going back home, are they going to ignore that? Are they going to say, hey, we're going to remove Zelensky and then we're done, we're not going to do anything else? Are they going to ignore that? And it's a dangerous, ignorant game for these adults wanting to play a war hero for a second in NATO when Russia is not kidding around. You said a measured response. This entire thing from Russia has been a measured response. There's going to come a day where either NATO is going to mess around and find out and draw the entire UK into this fight, and Russia will have to respond. I mean, if Russia just says, you know what, we're cutting off all oil reserve and power supplies to all of Europe, enjoy your winter, France will come to their side. Germany will come to their senses and come to their side. France and Germany will riot. It'll look like 2020 all over again, but probably much worse, which would force their administrations to go to Russia. And that would force an alliance. I don't think Parliament in the UK would do that, but I do see Germany and France being much closer to Russia doing that. I think Spain is kind of in the middle of everything. They're a socialist economy anyway, so they might as well line up with the BRICS nations. Scandinavia is still going to be somewhat passive-aggressive and standoffish, but in the big sense of things, I think Scandinavia, all their countries, I think they would stand down. I don't think anyone would oppose Russia if Russia really wanted to push an all-out war, which then says to me this: if we, the United States, are still the aggressors and our allies in the UK to absolutely just sit down and don't play this round, who comes for our aid? And you don't have to destroy us. Once again, if you do a massive grid down cyber attack and you let us implode from within to the point that it would take years for America to regain control of all of its cities. And, oh, by the way, the economy would be destroyed within a month or less.
To further that, talk about what you know about UN at the border and talk about numbers they want to bring in. And then let's extrapolate that to what you're saying.
So in Central America and in Mexico, there's at least one or two compounds that the United Nations has created. And now it's confirmed that they said that they can hold 1 million migrants a month. Feed them, house them, give them medical care, let them gather in one large group, and then send them north. I mean, at that point, you don't need to deploy a military. Just activate the people that are coming to the border and the people that are already in the country, and we have no availability of control for that chaos. It would be a problem. It would be one big problem. There's not enough law enforcement or National Guard to solve that problem either.
Yeah, you're familiar with the what happened in Germany with the Night of the Broken Glass.
Yep.
You know, Kristallnacht, in which the brown shirts and the Nazis went after Jewish businesses, Jewish homeowners. Do you think we could have a Night of the Broken Glass here in America? Only you and I are the broken glass.
I could foresee Jade Helm 1615, where you had rogue military units, rogue law enforcement, assassination teams, which we have all those. And then also anyone who just recently came over the border is activated. And yeah, go steal some cars, go hit a couple Walmarts and grab all the guns you can and a few gun stores. And here's some addresses. But you do all that while the lights are on. You do all that while the lights are on. And I'll tell you why. Because terror is effective. Fear is effective. It's a part of war. It's a ploy of war. And it is very effective. And you want everyone from social media to mainstream media to replay footages of Dave Hodges and Doug Thornton and Steve Quayle and Alex Jones and Mike Adams and so on and so forth, being assassinated, ran out of their homes, homes set on fire, drug into the streets, because just like what they're doing with Donald Trump, that would scare everyone enough to not want to do this anymore. And that is what they do to journalists. It's exactly what the Nazis did. It's exactly what Mao did. It's exactly what Stalin did and Mussolini did. They all went after the availability to push out information. And then they took absolute control of it. And then they propagandized everything. So some of the first people to be attacked are influencers, media influencers, not TikTok influencers, media influencers. Tucker Carlson has a bounty on his head. And the day that the powers that be say go and collect it, there'll be 100 people going to collect it. And how are you going to stop it?
John Wick 3. That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Yeah. Come get some. That's all I can say. You know, it's a – and in America, we're already every man for himself. Maybe if you lived in a suburb and you're really tight with all your neighbors. On the Texas border, on the southern border where you and I live, you have the cartel problem, which is the biggest threat in America, the MS-13 problem, the Sinaloa cartel, the CJNG cartel. Those are real military threat problems.
They were trained in those camps we've talked about before with terrorists. And now they've got paramilitary equipment supplied by China.
Well, you know where the whole head cutting off thing came from the Middle Eastern terrorists? They got that from the Mexican cartels. We learned that a few years ago. They took their Mujahideen, their terrorists, and they inserted them with the Mexican cartels and learned of a new way of brutality. So that's what I'm saying. Like the Mexican cartels, you do not want to be captured by those people. You don't. You don't want to be captured by them. They do ritualistic, satanic ritualistic cannibalism, skinning people. They're really big into that. Setting people on fire. There's no empathy with what these people do to children. They'll do it to women, to elderly, especially just a regular old man. There is really nothing stopping their brutality, and it's demonically driven. It's absolutely demonically driven. And yet we do nothing about it, Dave, as America. We know these threats. We know what the cartel does, and we allow it to happen. So once again, we talk about the puppeteers. We're allowing Ukraine. We're allowing Hamas and and ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the Taliban that we just completely armed, turned into an actual legit army. We're orchestrating it all. We're orchestrating our own invasion into America. And then the most dangerous threat that we have towards America is the Mexican cartels. And we do nothing about it.
Yeah.
So
it's because we're run by traitors. I've got a news release coming in right now, Doug. This just hit. The IDF has reported incursions near Lebanon's border, and Hezbollah is mobilizing troops. Blah, 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 blah. It's expanding already.
Every 12 hours.
Yeah.
Every
well, we know
hours.
Syria has amassed troops as well. They don't have a huge force. We get 600 tanks, I think was the most notable number that I read, but they're amassing. So clearly this is, and it can't help but engulf Iran. And Iran is the key piece here, because that's what will bring Russia in, and Russia will use its nukes. Let me ask you a question. When America gets nuked, what do you think will come first or will be simultaneous? ICBM-based missiles out of Russia or submarines? There's a reason why I'm asking.
Well, Russia still has a mutually assured destruction mindset with the dead hand program.
Mm-hmm.
So you always have that element that's a problem. You know, half of me really, really believes that because Russia has a huge role to play in the New World Order. We're not going to annihilate something that's biblically prophesied to be a part of end times. I think before it gets crazy, I could realistically see someone from inside Russia assassinating Putin and his entire family. I don't want to say that, but Putin and his entire family, and then calling for a ceasefire, or at least not allowing any retaliatory strikes. And that would play so much right into the hands of prophecy for what has to come. Because if you had a nuclear irradiated Russia, then where is Gog and Magog at in the Ezekiel 38-39 wars and also Armageddon? And, you know, Lindsey Graham and other politicians in America have been saying for a while that someone needs to assassinate Vladimir Putin. I think there's a high probability that that may happen from one of the oligarchs. I really do. I was not going to say that last year because Russia was unified last year, but war changes a lot of prerogatives for people. And, you know, maybe Vladimir Putin says, screw it, we are going to go into total war. And the oligarchs say, no, we want to live so we can spend our money. And they come against them. That's how divided Russia is anyways, between the military and law enforcement and the Russian mob gangs. It's all driven by oligarchs. But you would have to kill the entire hierarchy of Russia. You'd have to, what's his handler? Dudev, is that his name?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, the guy whose daughter was assassinated by Ukrainians.
Oh yeah.
He's their military genius, so he's gonna have to go. So that's kind of what I foresee happening. If we struck Iran, I think Russia would strategically strike something of ours. But I just don't see the two nations wanting to nuclear annihilate each other, because, and Vladimir Putin says this all the time, you send one missile, we're sending 1,000 missiles. I don't believe half of what Vladimir Putin says with his threats, though I do believe he wouldn't use a nuclear device I think he's very weighted in that because he too probably wants to live a little bit longer and see his kids grow up. I mean, that's what we're talking about. When you're talking about nuclear annihilation, nobody wins. If nobody wins, then we need to find another way to get off of that playing table. But that is exactly what Iran wants. Iran wants everyone to start a World War III for the 12th Mahdi to come back.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly. Explain that to the to the audience, because they may not understand Iran's fascination with end times.
I'm not very big into their theology, but part of the Iranian eschatology for their end times is that you have the 12th Mahdi comes back, and that is their Prophet Muhammad, more or less. That's their form of a Christ-like figure. And then actually Jesus joins the 12th Mahdi, and they have a worldwide jihad on Allah's enemies, and then the world goes into peace. But in order for that to happen, the world has to be at a point of self-destruct for the 12th Mahdi to come back, and then Jesus to unite with him. You can go and read all about it. It's brain numbing, but these people are dead serious about it. They are dead serious about it. And so it's an end times kind of, religion. So you have that to play, but once again, you know, I could honestly see if Iran said that, hey, we're about to nuke somebody, where China would step in and stop them. Because when nukes start flying, one nuclear bomb ignited anywhere around the world is a nuclear bomb ignited around the world, and everybody loses. Especially if we're talking about then two or three or four or five nuclear bombs, the whole world loses. And these rich megalomaniac families, New World Order, WEF, all these people, they want to live. They want to survive. They want to subjugate mankind, and they want to kill us off by us either volunteering to take the shots, volunteering to eat the bugs, volunteering to live in mud huts, Dave, like what you were telling me yesterday. They want us to willfully die off so that they can control that, you know, 500 million or whatever, right? But they don't want nuclear annihilation, because then who do they rule over? That's my train of thought.
Well, but they want to take it down to 500 million. I think there's enough evidence to say that that's their goal.
Yeah.
And I think that the mRNA and the DNA manipulation of the shots, too, speaks to creating a dumbed-down civilization that they can control. I think that's a given. But they got a lot to do to get there. What I'm really most worried about right now, while we're watching the right hand, I think we're going to get smacked with the left. And I want to go back to the border again. When you were in DHS, and what you know from DHS workings, do you share the Texas Rangers who contacted me and Jane Helm too? Do you share that belief that we will look at terrorist organizations taking over small towns, executing cops, going door to door to kill as many citizens as possible until they're stopped?
You mean like what Hamas did in
Exactly.
Israel?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That is how you do it. You have to stop local law enforcement, which may be easy for some towns. And then you have to, you have to go in and kill all resistors. The thing about America that makes this very unique is that we all, for the most part, we all own guns. So it's not like Israel, where no one had guns when Hamas came in. We all have guns. The fact that we have a scary amount of guns, and I love it. We're a gun nut culture. And that's half the reason why no one wants to invade us. Sure, you can defeat the military. Good luck on defeating our military, for one. Even with all the reprobate nature, we still have the most advanced, strongest, and damn meanest military in the whole world. But I would say our population is much more dangerous and less held back than the military. So it would be a real fight. It would be a real fight. And the criminal organizations in America are just as well armed. So, you know, the thing is, and once again, you spoil the entire Red Dawn Wolverines holding your AK shouting on top of Kmart.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, you spoil all that when you selectively, strategically start to take out the power. You end
Red
radio communications. No, but you
Red Dawn's going to be Red Dawn's going to be internal. Don't you agree?
Well, I mean, Red Dawn actually just happened in Israel.
Yeah, but it was a contrived event.
It was localized. Can it happen nationally here in America? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We'd be picking Hodges out of the sky with, you know, our 3-inch Magnum duck guns.
Careful how you say that name.
What? Oh, well, whatever.
Yeah. You're not picking me out of the sky.
Yeah. It's
you know, get me up in the sky. I would say this, Doug. I hold to the Tet Offensive notion that we've talked about before. There's going to be a day of hell, night of the broken glass, and they're going to attack us on multiple fronts all at one time and overwhelm us. Let me give you one thing that my best military guy told me about we need to be concerned about. And he's held to this for 10, 12 years. He said he sees terrorists going into a school, elementary school for effect, killing young kids, biggest emotional effect, and that they will have two perimeters of defense lined up before they go in. So they'll let the first responders get into the inner perimeter and then destroy them, while the outer perimeter, when they bring in secondary forces, will fight there. And he says they're not going to win in the long run. He said, but they sure as hell can create a lot of disruption, a lot of death.
And once
he also talked about C4 charges on the entrance points and detonating those as secondary forces come in to help.
But that's a very localized event. That's not even something on a countywide scale.
What if it happens in 100 counties?
That's a very, very coordinated thing to do. And in America's big enough that you can hide enough people to easily coordinate that.
I agree. And do you think the DOJ and the FBI would be on the side of stopping it? I don't.
No, the DOJ and the FBI. No, this is a local law enforcement, state law enforcement matter at that point.
No, but I'm talking intel. Intel
is their problem.
Intel leaks out. Okay. Hey, be on the lookout for the blah, blah, blah. And you may get a random perfunctory, well, terrorism watch is on the rise, end of story, but not telling you really what they know because they want it to happen. Remember, these people who run our government today are committed to taking down our country.
Well, at the fusion centers where all the intelligence is compiled and spread out to state and local law enforcement entities and federal entities, it depends on what's the level of compromise in there, because typically that's all cops and intelligence analyst people. And what's the level of their compromise? Are they patriotic? You know, they have to live in this crazy world too, and typically they have families as well. So I don't want to overgeneralize what the response would be from a government that's already proven to fail us. Like I said,
intentionally, Doug, not fail.
Intentionally
fail.
But every FBI, DHS, DEA, ATF agent, so, you know, U.S. Marshals will stay on the federal side, and then your state and local guys, they all live together. We all live around one another. So whatever happens to me happens to you. Whatever happens to you happens to me. So it would behoove all of us to unite to eliminate any threats, right?
Unless top-down leadership, though, doesn't care. And see, that's the thing. That's like asking the question, will the military follow directions to fire on American citizens? Initially, I believe they will, because the command comes from the top. Will there be a general stand down from the federal government in the midst of a night of the broken glass attack? I believe there will be. There'll be a suppression of intelligence. There'll be a suppression of what the reaction should be to stop it. or to limit it. And this has nothing to do with local agents living in a community. This has to do with top level decision making where they want America to fail.
The way that works in reality is that whatever DC says is going to be ignored. And it's not like it hadn't been ignored before. We've ignored DC a few times. And not only that, the way law enforcement works is the on-scene incident commander is whoever is there, not whoever is in DC. So, you know, if the sheriff wanted to take over the situation, he was a righteous constitutionalist sheriff, everyone would fall underneath the sheriff or the undersheriff. Yeah, I mean, I think if it goes to World War III and we're in Civil War, you're going to see a lot of movement in the political structure of law enforcement, a lot of movement. And I would not be shocked because law enforcement is heavily, majorly conservative, regardless of what some people who listen to us think. The majority of law enforcement is conservative, not Christian, but conservative. I would not be surprised if they knew that their leadership, which was, you know, sold out Obama, Black Lives Matter, Biden administration, backbiting, you know, self-destructing. I wouldn't be surprised if those guys were limitedly detained while problems were solved. Wouldn't be surprised. Because if I don't, and I listen to, you know, some guy over here, like the mayor, who says, hey, by the way, just let Kenosha burn. Don't do anything. Well, that's my citizens that I have to live with. And, you know, once we've gone completely Wild West, if I don't protect them, they'll come after me.
Okay. I would contradict that by saying this. That principle does not apply in Israel, because for the 4 hours the massacre was going on, you would think that IDF people would have self-deployed then in violation of Netanyahu stand down. So that philosophy did not work in Israel. And I'm not sure it'll work here. In fact, you actually gave me a thought. I want you to answer this question. If what you're saying is believed to be true by the people that would perpetrate this violence, wouldn't they be better off initially before they attack in a centralized area, going after like the threat fusion centers, FBI local headquarters, and police stations? Should that be the first target for them? If you were on their side, would you advise them that should be your first course of action?
No, go after soft targets. Go out to soft targets and draw people to you. Don't go to a heavily fortified structure. Draw them out to you.
And the police stations defend themselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they can. Yeah. The IDF, so there's three levels of security in Israel. I've trained with Israelis a couple times. You have about 30,000 armed security guards. Now, this is not like American security guards. Their armed security guards went to the military. And then, so they did 2 years or more in the military. And then they had to do 2 years of training just to become an armed security guard. And then you have the police. Police is 4 years worth of training and ground effect in order to become a police officer in Israel. It actually is a standard that I wish we had in America. I really do, because that standard is much higher. Though Israel likes to neutralize anybody, which means a shot to the head. You already had police officers and security guards on the ground in that area that were already getting into firefights with Hamas. And the IDF stood down, localized, and then waited for orders. But you already had security guards and you already had police officers that ran on the fight. If that were to happen here in America, if you started to see, and we do see it from time to time, when you have security guards or you have law enforcement in America that's getting into like a hellacious gunfight, it's not unusual. It doesn't happen all the time, but it's not unusual to see civilians come and back up law enforcement. But when we're talking about like an oh shit scenario, there's the cartel. I mean, between the good old boys, the patriots, and the veterans, and then your local law enforcement, that already outnumbers our military 3-1. So I would say that anyone who came into America wanting to pick a fight, you pick the wrong fight if we can all coordinate. So either you set a million fires across America and you spread us thin, or you coordinate with these big attacks, and that means everyone can have time to come and join arms and devise a plan and come towards you. And you're going to lose. You're going to lose. Even if overwhelming firepower, if you have more people, eventually the more people are going to close with and destroy and win. It's a fun game to try and play out, because I can give good and bad points to both sides. I can give good and bad points. Here's a bad point. What do the terrorists have that we don't have? Well, police have CS gas. We have sometimes CN gas, which is self-defecating gas. We have, OC gas. And after that, we don't really have anything else. Well, what will the terrorists have? Chlorine bombs, fire bombs, RPGs, suicide bombers. If we're talking about the cartel, 50 caliber machine guns, medium and lightweight machine guns, armored cars. And then also they have mortars. Mortars is a huge, huge thing. And then they have potential actual chemical and biological weapons. So there is how you level the playing field. Even though, let's say, out of a million idiots that are coming across the border and they're all here to invade America, all right, out of a million, if you just had 1,000 well-trained former military who knew how to deploy the chemical, biological weapons, the mortar systems, and the heavy crew serve weapon systems, and you let everyone else become cannon fodder, now you have a real actual problem. That's a problem. And that'll be a war that's going to be fought from distance. I mean, that'll be a deer hunting rifle war, because you wouldn't want to get close to that type of fighting. But that fighting doesn't happen like that when it's in a city. In a city, everything is up close and personal. So that ability to just stand back and pick people off, like so many people here in America say, that goes away. That completely goes away. You have to get in houses and you have to fight people, and it sucks. It's scary. So,
yeah, that's the problem they're going to have in Gaza too. It's going to be a huge problem, house to house. But I don't think they're going to let it go on that long before they find a way to get Iran involved.
Netanyahu said that he was prepared for this to be a year or two long drawn out war.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
That's a long time for this type of fighting for Gaza.
Yeah, the thing is we don't know what's blustering and what's
Let me ask you. When we invaded Iraq, like Fallujah, Ramadi, and all that, we leaflet dropped and we said, get the hell out of the city. If you're still here, you're an enemy combatant. We ended up having, violent Islamic extremists from all around the world come to those cities and fight us. Do you think that's what could happen in Gaza?
Yeah, I do. And I think they'll come in from the surrounding Muslim countries. I absolutely believe that to be true. And then we got the tunnel system that could facilitate the distribution of these people.
Yep.
So
we really don't know how long that tunnel system is. It's estimated 300 miles.
You got to wonder how many children get trafficked, just as an aside.
A horrific amount. One is a horrific amount.
No, I know. But I'm saying
they're going to do like ISIS did, and they're going to use human shields. Hey, you saw Hamas was telling people, don't escape, don't leave your homes.
Yeah,
well, exactly. Israel's saying, don't stay, leave your homes. Because can I talk about this artillery strike problem that people have?
Yeah, we got about 2 minutes left.
Okay, so the way military artillery strikes are now is that when a rocket is launched in Gaza, the computer programming based off of satellites and science and stuff triangulates where that launching off point is, that point of origin, all right, a POO site, a point of origin site. And then that's where the immediate battery traces right back over to. So if you fired it from a school, the battery system says, oh, this is where the triangulations are, immediate fire for effect. And so that's why you have those type of casualties. And that's why Hamas really is cowards. They fight around civilians. Right. And IDF says, come and meet us in the open.
Yeah, I hear you. And also, too, to kind of conclude with this, Israel's being accused of telling the citizens to leave and then they're killing them. That's not true. Hamas is killing their own people that are leaving. Yep. That's what's happening there. And it would make no sense. Israel's got to maintain some public persona with the world, and they're not going to kill escaping citizens. There's no military advantage to doing it anyway. So I don't believe that for a second. Well, Doug, I think that this is an open topic. We'll have to end it open, but we're primed for terrorism. We've explored that. We're primed for World War III. We'll just have to see where it goes, and no doubt we'll be following up as events dictate. Doug Thornton can be found at the American Vindicta Show, and you can also catch him on Rumble, occasionally on YouTube when he's not in jail. And that's YouTube jail. So you find him there, and you can always find us here at the Common Sense Show. Thanks for joining us, Doug. I'll catch you later.
See you, Dave. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, you will own nothing and you will love it. And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. you don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.